That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers this September 21st, 2019. And we've got a full crew for you this morning. Good morning, John. We say good morning to you, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning from Nebraska, Brother Tim. How you doing this morning, Tim?
Good morning. Doing fine, thank you. Good morning, glad to be here.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant. We thank you for joining us. The program is Coffee with the Wranglers. We've got, well, we're the Wranglers, and we're here. We've got our Bibles. Hopefully you have yours. We have our coffee, and we're coming to you live. Beautiful morning here at the Radio Ranch, a little crisp, about 36 degrees. So just a little cool this morning, and but that's okay. That's okay. It is that time of the year, and so it has become fall. Had a 91st day this past week, and so we know what to expect. The weather, the days are getting a little shorter, a little cooler. And so that's where we're at. Well, John, if you'd open us up in prayer, we'll go from there, sir.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, and we thank you for this time that you set aside for us to come together and to encourage one another to love and good deeds. Father, we ask for direction, wisdom, understanding, and discernment regarding the things that are going on in the world. Show us what it is that's important for your people, the remnant, to understand, and show us how it ties into prophecy, into your scripture, what it is that we need to know to battle against these demonic forces of hell that know that their time is short and have come against your people in a mighty way over the last several years. Father, we stand on the promises that greater is he that is for us than all those that are against us, and that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. We thank you for those promises. We thank you for your deliverance, Father, from evil for all these times. And we just ask for your continued grace, mercy, and compassion in your wrath, and that you would find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. There's much to pray for, much to pray against, much to be thankful for. We do thank you for all of our blessings, but we also thank you for our trials and our tribulations and our testing that you put us through, that your word says that you do these things to refine us into the men and women that you want us to be, to serve in your kingdom. Father, we just praise you and love you and just cry out, Father, for in an appeal to heaven for you to save America again. We know that there's only a window of opportunity for your people who are called by your name to humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways so that you will hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land. And Father, we know that that window is closing rapidly, and what happens in 2020 can change the landscape drastically. Father, we know that just in the last days, your word says that those terrors would become bold and brazen and stick their heads up. And we see that, Father. They are bold and brazen. And we know that just like in the days of Noah, that they would flaunt their sin, Lord, and that's exactly what's taking place. We know that you didn't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah just because of the sin of homosexuality, but the sin of pride and the fact that they were flaunting their sin. Father, they no longer hide these things from your people. They no longer try to conceal their evil, demonic intentions. You said in the last days the righteous would be righteous and the wicked would be wicked. And Father, we see it. The lines are being drawn. Choose ye this day who you shall serve. If you want to serve Baal, so be it. If you want to serve the Lord, then do that. But we know that you're done with this churches of Laodicea. You're done with lukewarm. People need to decide on which side they will stand. And the stand that they take may very well require consequences. But Lord, we trust in you. We ask that we would hear you from the Lord, that we would hear the Holy Spirit at the proper time, and that we would be obedient. Father, we know that we are nothing without you, and we're nothing without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But Lord, your word says that you've given us authority to trample upon scorpions and serpents and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm us. And we stand on that promise as well. So just show us what it is that's important to look at today, Father, and prepare your people's hearts and minds and souls to receive these truths. Father, even now I ask that you would prepare our hearts and minds and souls to partake of the Lord's Supper tomorrow, Father, as it's so critical that we confess our sins, the ones we know about and the ones that we don't, and that we continue to abide in you, Father. We know that there's no greater weapon, offensively or defensively, than your blood, the precious, holy, cleansing, healing blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Well, John, that prayer brought me to Luke 12. And in Luke 12:35, it says, "Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit." And then a little further in verse 48, it says, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more." And I think that ties in with now's the time. We have been given, there's a reason that the remnant, those that understand this all-important truth of who we are, there's a reason that has happened, that much has been given, because now it's time for much to be required. It's time not to mince words. It's time to be that lit lamp that is shining into the dark corners of the world, that is calling sin, sin, just like you did in your prayer, and certainly pushing for repentance. But the time is now, and the time is now for the remnant that has this understanding to share that with others, and not to just not to take that lamp and hide it under a basket or a blanket or anything, and just to kind of hold on to it. But it's a time for it to be for that light to go out into the world, and then the people will know. They see the light, and they hear these truths from the Word, and then they make their choice. They make their choice.
Yeah, amen. Well, one of the things that took place yesterday was Fort Collins, Colorado, right here where we are, decided not to continue its challenge to the federal court's decision for a ban on going topless in the city. Basically, by not continuing through with the appeal, Colorado City's decision to discontinue the legal battle to bar women from appearing topless in public has effectively legalized the risque fashion statement in six western states. But what most people are not aware of is that the campaign for women to be able to free the nipple in public was started by a feminist in the LGBTQ and P for pedophile movement in America, and now has quickly spread out to receive support from an open immorality as part of what is described as Jacob's trouble under the Antichrist. And so it is, you know, just like we talked about, it's in the days of Noah, in the days of Lot, when Lot lived in Sodom. So it's really no coincidence that it's the Sodomites that are behind this current push. Six states will be able to allow women to go topless in public, with many more to follow. So basically, what happened yesterday, Colorado, Kansas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Utah, and Wyoming will now be able to have girls as young as 11 parade around in public, topless.
Amen.
But I guess the big thing is the P. So remember, we started out with it just used to be gay, lesbian. Then it was LGBT, transgender. Then the Q, queer. And we kept saying, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, they keep adding letters. Well, Pastor warned us back, I don't even know how many years ago now, probably about the time that they seized the church, that this was just the tip of the iceberg when they tried to make it illegal to discriminate against homosexuals. That was just the camel's nose under the tent. And he said, mark my words, the next would be gay marriage, the next would be transgender, the next would be pedophilia. And we're coming to that place now where people are basically admitting that they want pedophilia as part of their umbrella of the LGBTQ. So that's where we're at.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's actually, I mean, why should we be surprised? But it is pretty crazy. I mean, and the thing is, it's you know, it's the ones that are promoting this free the nipple or going topless women are the most disgusting women that you have ever seen. I mean, there's just a disgustingness about them. You see the pictures of the news articles and stuff, and you know, you look at how much money the city of Fort Collins spent on fighting it. I mean, it was, you know, it was at one point, and this was quite a while back, it was over $330,000 that they've done, that they had spent in attorney's fees and fighting it. And, you know, that's how the enemy wins, is they just keep coming back and keep coming back. And, you know, they, you get a ruling and, you know, they banned it. They come back and they, you know, file another motion and, you know, try to get it pushed through again.
Yeah, these pedophiles are now identifying themselves as minor attracted persons and want inclusion in the LGBTQ movement. Minor attracted persons,
yeah. Yeah, well, they can be minorly attracted to minors in hell, as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Well, only so far.
I've heard that those that associate like that are magnets for certain metals. So we'll see.
Absolutely.
You know, it's been said before. You've said it before, John, and many of us had that. There comes a time when you just have to say no. You just have to say no. And I saw that article this morning, you know, some states have just, you know, the enemy has not been able to make headway there. I was surprised when it was six states on this court ruling, and that Wyoming was included in that. But it's the little regional areas that they have set up, and then their federal law overwrites or overrules any state law. I think it'll be interesting to see what these other states say about it. But, you know,
and these are some pretty conservative states.
They are.
About it.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, not Colorado, but the rest of them are.
Well, it used to be.
Right.
I don't know about New Mexico, but Kansas sure is. Oklahoma sure is. Utah sure is. Wyoming is.
It is.
Oh, yeah,
so we'll see. But
it's another one of those things when those people don't have any shame. They just continually come back. I mean, they're without conscience, without shame, and to try to appeal to their morality or to their any of the things that we understand it's a complete waste of time because they don't have those things. You know, and I think that the godly have those things, and those who have the law written on their heart have those things. But those other ones, the Bible says they're, and I was thinking about it the other day, it says they're unreasoning animals. You know, I mean, that's a beast. And that really, you can see that. They just bang away at it and continue to throw it in everyone's face. It's just really sad when you look at it. I mean, so, and mislabeled.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Tim, is it getting kind of close to harvest time over there? Are you seeing, how are you seeing things over in your neck of the woods for that? I know we've talked quite a bit about all the, you know, the millions of acres not planted this year. And we've heard quite a bit about eastern Nebraska, you know, the result of the massive floods. Are you seeing that, you know, as part of a follow-up as we kind of get out of summer and into fall?
We're getting into it, and it's really spotty even in western Nebraska. There's a lot of spottiness as far as the crops and the foodstuffs go because we've had some really massive storms, hail-wise and tornado-wise and everything else. And some of the, some of the stuff is just completely destroyed or razed to the ground. I mean, and some of it's fantastic, but... when you're already talking about massive losses in some areas, and then you run into these kind of spotty things, it's just more on the damage. And I don't know. I mean, it looks good where it's good, and And then there's places where there aren't any. I mean, even around us, there's spots. You can go in one spot and everything looks fantastic. You can drive 4 miles and pivots are tipped over and fields are flat to the dirt. I mean,
wow.
It's just really, I don't know what the right word is. You just don't see it like that very often. I mean, and they still, Eastern Nebraska is still in, cousin who lives over there, and Eastern Nebraska is still totally, their infrastructure is just gone in places. No bridges, no roads. The rivers have created new places. Towns are 50-60% still wiped out. They're trying to find housing for those people, and it leaves me shocked that it's not even in the news or not even in the. I mean, it looks very much like post-apocalyptic hurricane pictures and things like that in that part of the state. That there's really no coverage on it. I mean, it's they've got not a few hundred. We're talking about tens of thousands of people in a multi-state area over there in those bordering states that are out of their homes and out of their towns. They can't even get to their towns, and it's still going on. So their financial foundations have been swept out from underneath of them. It's a strange story, and interesting how none of that gets any coverage and very little help as well for those people. I mean, that's the other thing that strikes me. I think we're going to see some. I think there's going to be some problems as far as food supplies and different things go. We're probably not going to see them in the pipeline until winter, spring in there, but there's definitely warning lights on the horizon.
I haven't even begin to see the repercussions from all of that flooding in the heartland. The few food shortages and the things that are going to take place.
I know, and the cattle that were destroyed and the livestock, I mean, it's just millions. Well, what were they saying, Jason? We were talking over a million calves that were destroyed in those floods. I mean, there was...
over a million.
Yeah, that's the... You know, that's not going to hit the cattle market until those calves would have been sold as feeders and butchers, So... That's on its way.
The other thing that's been going on that most people don't see, and it's significant in the financial markets, is all the repo that's going on. What that is, if you look into it, basically every day the Fed sells bad debt to banks all across the world for a discount, typically in the 2-2.5% range from what the debt is. And here this week, one of the warning signs is the fact that no banks are buying the debt, and it got up to 10%, which sets off warning alarms. And then the Fed has been dumping like anywhere from 40 to 75 billion a day into the market, purchasing that debt so that it doesn't go out at a 10% or 20%. 20% is basically chaos. It happened in China once. And anyways, those are significant signs that the economy isn't as rosy as people think. And basically, the fact that we didn't take care of our financial house after what happened in 08, it's just continued to increase. That 22 point whatever trillion isn't just going to go away. So it's significant what's happening in the markets right now. During the Obamanation administration, they were doing that QE funding, which was $40 billion. I can't remember if it was a day or whatever it was, but bottom line is they're running out of tricks. it's Babylon, and the Bible's clear in Revelation that it'll fall in one day, and it will. It'll fall overnight. You know, and also when you look and you read about the last battle of Armageddon, that battle's over in just a matter of minutes, pretty much. If Stanford actually did a study on the thing and basically says that the scenario that's presented in Revelation is realistic in a nuclear war, and we know that this war, it's going to be a button pushing war, and you know, the things that are described in Zechariah and Ezekiel and Revelation are the things that will take place in that last war. Well, now the good news is we're at the end of the story and the Christians win, but those days are quickly approaching, in my opinion.
Yeah, John, it was, you mentioned last week about the attack on the oil refineries and the blame shifting that was going on, and the mainstream media seems to just not be addressing that at all. Just that it was like an oil tanker gets hijacked, and it seemed like that was getting more media coverage than this wide impacting oil refinery attack.
Yeah, well, it looks like I read something this morning that President Trump orders U.S. troops and missiles sent to Saudi Arabia. And what I read, it looks like Saudi Arabia and Israel attacked the Iranian positions in Syria last night or early this morning. So, I mean, this thing isn't over by a long shot. This isn't just rumors of wars anymore. This is the reality of war that's taking place. And, you know, no doubt that Russia and China would side with Iran in the event that the U.S. Tried to take them out with Israel. So, interesting times we're living in.
It is. And don't you think if they do that, you know, I think the thoughts occurred to me anyway, that if Russia and China do that, you know, they are much more heavily entrenched in South America and Canada than they've ever been before. We've had friends from Canada that have talked about the massive number of Chinese that have moved in there and Japanese that have come in and invested and bought, and to where in some places in Canada, you know, down here in the States, there's many places you go into a Walmart or other stores, and you see instructions in English and Spanish. You see it in schools. You see it in many places here. And so we've had people in Canada let us know that they have signs in Canada that are in English, in the English-speaking areas, and in Chinese. Subway signs and road signs and in grocery stores. And so imagine, if you will, the Hispanic influence that we have had here, and the way that the markets have responded. They are catering to those people, the Spanish speaking, non-English speaking people. Imagine that same thing is going on in Canada on at least the same scale, if not a greater scale, with Chinese speaking people. And then down in South America, the Mexicans and the Chinese get along real well, and the Brazilians and the Chinese get along real well. And so imagine hostilities breaking out. It's not just over there in the Middle East anymore. It would not just be over there, but the Chinese and the Russians are quite well entrenched all around us, north and south.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of fits the narrative of the city on the hill. You know, I mean, being not only is it something that can be seen everywhere, but also in the event of a battle, they can be surrounded all the way around. you know, and it kind of fits that narrative that is spoken about.
Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913.
I thought it was significant in the fact that I read some stuff on that refinery over there, and it's already 75% back online, and a full recovery is expected, according to the Saudis, by the end of the month, as far as its output.
Yeah, also, initially they said it was going to be 50%, 50 to 60% diminished in capacity for 6 months, and that's when oil went up 20% in a day.
Yeah,
and then
the next morning,
yeah, it started coming down.
Well, and they didn't.
Fuel prices around here haven't really gone up that much, which was kind of shocking to me. I thought for sure, typically, you know, as soon as anything happens anywhere in the world, fuel prices shoot up overnight, and then takes a long time for them to come back down. But the fact that we are, you know, $50, $55 a barrel, we should be at $1 a gallon gas. If you look at, you know, back 10 years ago when oil was $40 to $50 a barrel, fuel was $1. But you know, once they got us up to $5 a gallon, they figured, well, we can just keep it at $3, and everybody will think it's a deal, you know. So,
yeah, no kidding.
It's all a racket. One of the other significant things I saw this week, I think, was the fact that California says there's no exemption for vaccines except for death. So unless you're dead, you don't have any exemption. There's no more religious exemption, no more school exemptions, none of that anymore, period. And that's what they're trying to do here in Colorado as well. Our faggot governor is trying to push a bill that there's no exemptions for vaccines. Well, you know, the reality is if they're going to force you to take a shot, then they may have to receive a shot first of precious metals. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be.
And we're sure feeling that up here. The economy up here, Cheyenne and you know, southeastern Wyoming, because there are a lot of people moving out of Colorado and out of California into this area. The housing market is absolutely booming in this area, and that's a big part of it. You know, there's some high-tech businesses moving in, but the influx of people. Property values have gone up. The real estate market has increased exponentially over the last couple of years. And
yeah, they just listed.
And that's
Laramie is one of the 100 most desirable places to live in the country.
Right.
So,
and that's you know, understanding that it's windier here than in the Windy City of Chicago. And, you know, I've seen 40 below. We've been here 18 years. I've seen 40 below on the thermometer on the back porch. That's out of the wind. That's not including wind chill. That's just 40 below zero. And for this Florida boy, that was a little, you know, that's a little different. That's a little different. And so even with those things, yeah, John, it made the list of top 100. Little town was 30,000 in the last census. And only about another 10,000 in the surrounding, you know, county. But Cheyenne, even Pine Bluffs further east, but especially Cheyenne, interstate access to Colorado, and they absolutely cannot keep up with the housing over there. And that is why, is because you have people that are leaving. You know, we saw that mass exodus out of California years, you know, we've been seeing it for years as the I don't know if you want to call them conservatives, but as people that that see what's going on, that don't agree in California when, you know, with when 80% of the people vote to say not give illegals California driver's license, and then the governor and the federal judges say, well, we're going to do it anyway. And it, you know, and that has happened on many over the years on many different with many different issues. And so some people just leave. They see that their vote doesn't count. They see that their voice doesn't count. That there is no reason, and they've left. And I think we're seeing that start to really ramp up out of Colorado as well. We've talked before about this line being drawn, and it's not being drawn by the right. It's not being drawn, you know, by people purposefully withdrawing from the world or from these things of the world. But we see the world, the left, getting so much worse, just like this repeal of this topless ban in these six states. We see the left just getting worse and worse, and they are drawing the line. They are widening and deepening that line between right and wrong.
Yeah, you know, I read this week, too, that housing starts, the permits for housing starts is higher than it's been in, I think, history. But if you look into it, it's not single-family homes. It's all multifamily apartment complexes and things like that. Because it fits the narrative of Agenda 21 and Agenda 30 of the stack and pack housing and using public transportation. I guess yesterday they had like a nationwide push for climate change where kids ditch school. And, you know, it's kind of comical when you see the fact that you look at their predictions for the last 50 years with all of this stuff going on and none of it has come to fruition. The other thing that I thought was extremely significant, especially with regards to what Pastor Peters used to always tell us, when AIDS came out, they said that it would be the end of the world, and Pastor would always laugh in their face and pretty much, you know, say that it was just a ploy. And they've proven now that the World Health Organization, the WHO, was in fact, when they were vaccinating the people for or the Africans for AIDS, were injecting them with AIDS. And as soon as they stopped taking the vaccinations, that's when that AIDS epidemic stopped. You know, it's also been proven that when they give them birth control, what they're doing is making those women where they can't have children anymore. So, you know, the things that were done in the dark are being brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops. And you know, there's people who are when you talk to them, they can't believe it. Well, how could they do that? I thought it was the world. I thought they were good for the people, the World Health Organization, you know, all of these things. And it's just answer to prayer. And as you continue to watch these Democratic debates and the demon rats coming against each other, it's funny to watch them just destroy one another, just like we've been praying. Send confusion into the camp of the enemy that they would turn upon one another and devour one another.
Absolutely. Yeah, watching some of these debates and actually more like reading the summarizations. I can't go listening to them, but you know, it's amazing how they turn on themselves and how each one seems to be more determined to be more radically destructive to life as we know it. Here, it occurred to me the other day that there's practically any place you can go in the world, speaking from a religious point of view, if you want to go to, if you're a major Buddhist, like there's multiple countries that espouse Buddhism or Taoism or Hinduism or pick whatever you want, where you can go and you can live there and practice what you want, but they certainly seem to have it in for a godly and Christian form of government and type of life. I mean, there can't be one place on the earth, and it always reminds me of that when Christ said, I have no place to lay my head. You know, they're out there seeking the destruction of a Christian form of government and a Christian form of life. I mean, you know, when we look at that, it's right there in your face.
Amen. And that's the pause when everybody's drinking coffee at the same time. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, they just move people. You know, you can see, like John, like you guys were saying earlier, you can see them move the dregs of society around in different places. They have a toolbox they use. They can declare a city a wonderful place. They can increase welfare benefits in that area. And they can shuttle these ungodly desirable elements from their point of view wherever they want them. And what happens is it's nothing short of an invasion of an area that they target. I mean, they move them in, and people, the good people, the godly people, they pack up and leave. And I thought about that the other day. They sell their land. Then the area that they're going to, the prices become inflated, and they can't buy back in, and they leave them basically homeless or whatever. And when we look at that kind of stuff, it's what they used to refer to in the 1800s as disenfranchisement, because at one time landowners were the ones that were allowed to vote, and there was a reason for that, because they were entrenched. They were those people that were godly and stood for those things. And when they, you know, you can look back and see the progression of this battle if you bother to you know, look at it real plainly and get away from revisionist history. You can look back and see the tools in their toolbox that they've used to aggravate and harm and destroy and undo those things. They're not going to win, and it shouldn't be. I don't think we should be depressed about it. But I do think we should be aware of how they work, and I think that's what it's about. It's a teachable moment. It's a heads up, you know, and this is how they work. That gives us hopefully the ability to fight back, because it's a war in a future way that is honoring and pleasing to our Master and our Lord.
And then if you look at what's going on with these storms too, that's been pretty crazy too. I mean, you know, they were talking, one of the headlines that I read this morning says, is California about to get hit by a hurricane for the very first time in U.S. history? And they're talking about the four storms that are heading up that are over there in that neck of the woods. Then Texas is getting slammed. And, yeah, it's kind of interesting. Fourth person dies in Texas floods caused by Elmida as storms swirl around the Atlantic and Pacific, including Hurricanes Lorena, which is threatening Mexican beach resorts. Six named storms swirled around the Atlantic and Mexico on Friday. You look at what these storms are doing, and it's pretty pretty crazy and pretty out of the ordinary.
No doubt.
Oh, yeah, they're saying it's never been this bad as far as the potential of damage with, especially those four storms that are just swirling out in the ocean right now.
Yeah, but, and it's, you know, weird because they're spread out. I mean, it's like they're almost like, it's like they're perfectly set off there. It's like they're just staged, ready to come in.
Yeah, almost like ammunition, yeah.
You look at it on the map, and it's just crazy.
Well, guys, let's try the phone.
Yeah.
Phone lines this morning. We'll be right back to you, John. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, hi, Richard.
Good morning.
Hello,
Joe.
Man.
Good morning, Joe.
Great day in the morning, in Joe. The kingdom. Been listening in on this very interesting discussions you men are having, bringing up some valid points. I remember must have been 30 years or more ago, a guy by the name of Nord Davis. Sure, you guys must have heard of him. He ran the North Point teams.
Oh, yeah.
And he had a newsletter, and he wrote regarding
the exit that you guys are speaking of.
And isn't it strange that if you look at the demographic shift of the nation, it's becoming increasingly non-white, mainly in the nerve centers of commerce on the East and West Coast. And it seems like most of the Saxon people are moving towards the hinterland to try to escape that. You know, the crime, especially. But there's a problem, and you guys pointed it out last week, I think, that the East and West Coast, being the places where most of the goods and services come into the country by ship, are the actual areas of commerce. And with that busy hubbub of commerce is the nerve center of lawmaking and trends, particularly out of Hollywood. So you have the garment district and the cultural centers in the New York City area, and you have Hollywood and Silicon Valley on the West Coast. Now that all draws a lot of people who are predisposed to the tech industry as well as culture, and those two areas seem to draw the homosexuals and all the other kinds of pervert scum. These people almost always, almost without exception, never have children except by adoption, thereby giving them a lot of spending cash. And with that spending cash, they do their dirty deeds undercover, and they generally, like I said, they have their agenda, which has been going on for probably the better part of 50 years now. In the past, it was in the back rooms, in the places where things really matter, like the halls of Congress. Congress is basically run by the two aspects of government, the Political Action Committee and the unelected representatives that are in the pools. It's kind of like a revolving door, Democrat versus Republican. These people, they don't have an allegiance. They're there. They don't have to worry about getting elected. They have this job, and they are the advisors and the people who crunch the numbers and so forth, the academics. And the politicians are tied to these people. They have to listen to them because the politicians are basically stupid. They're wealthy, and they get wealthier. And they don't know what they're reading. They can't understand it, even though a lot of them are lawyers. They can't understand the verbiage, and so they don't even bother reading it. They go by what their advisors and their aides say, and that's how things get done there. But Nord Davis talked about the Oreo cookie phenomenon, which is what I originally was talking about. I kind of sidetracked. But anyway, that's what it is, and we're seeing it manifest today. There are less and less people of our race in on the coast where all the decisions are made. All the big money is generally on the East and the West Coast.
Yeah, they've even called us. You know, they call it the flyover states. You know, the one, and that lets you know they don't care about it. That's their attitude towards us. Well, Joe, thanks. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the comment.
You guys have a good one.
You too, Joe. God bless.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
And he who sits in the heavens laughs.
I thought it was interesting here, too, that Australia has become perhaps the most aggressive country in Western culture to hunt down its own citizens for money. They follow school children and then investigate how the parents are paying for the school, probably the ones that send them to private schools. The Australian Tax Office, ETO, has applied for access to everything to hunt for money. They want access to phone calls, emails, posts, and SMS text messages. Australians could face up to 2 years jail sentence and fines of $25,200 under proposed laws that limit the use of cash to $10,000. A move, some groups argue, would create an Orwellian state by giving authorities greater control over people's finances. The government's slogan is cash is for criminals. Thus, was hidden from the 2000 Australian government budget, claiming it would save $5.3 billion by banning cash payments of $10,000 or more. Australian Treasurer Scott Morrison said it was a crackdown on the black economy. Instead of reform, they are reforming ways to hunt their own citizens. Australia began as a penal colony. The king needed money, so he did just about anything. So if you did just about anything, from stealing an apple to a minor issue, it landed you in prison. But they would sell you to a plantation for 5 years or transport you to a foreign land and leave you there. And if they could torture and get you to confess to one of 240 felonies, they carried the death penalty, where the king could confiscate all of your assets and throw your family out on the street. Prisoners would die under torture to save their families. So, I mean, you can see that stuff going on right now. The confiscation of people's property without due process. And, there's only one place to cry out to, and that's to God. Cry out to God to save America again.
Amen. Amen. You know, John, Judges 6, Gideon, verse 11. Gideon was beating out wheat in the wine press in order to save it from the Midianites. And so I think you could say the Caucasians were doing that to save it from the ungodly governments that were ruling them. And Australia's got to do that. We see the same thing in Europe. You see the same thing in the European countries, because their social programs are so huge. And they are attempting to provide everything for so many people that they're running out of money. I think that's part of it, anyway.
Well, it was kind of interesting too, because you look at their taxes. Basically, they're taxed at over 50% of their income in Australia, and therefore, a lot of people have had to take working in different areas. And I've met several people from Australia that had to leave basically because they couldn't afford to. Younger people that are, younger people in their 30s that, just wanted to learn a trade or get involved in technology, and they've left and went to Dubai or China or Germany or something like that, where, they think it's great over there. I mean, they're only getting taxed at 38% or 45%. Anything below 51%. A couple years ago, it was over 50, it was 51, 52% of what they were taking. So they could go over there, and then they started limiting it. After people started doing that, and they started taking jobs out of the country, they limited how much time they could spend back in the country before they owed that 52%. And it was, they could start it off where they could come and they could visit for a month. Then it got down to 3 weeks, and then it was down to 2 weeks. So, even if you had family and stuff there, you couldn't go visit for more than 2 weeks without being required to pay that 52% of your annual income. And they would go through your financial records, and that was one of the things that they required when you went to Australia, is if you were from there, that you had to turn over all your financial paperwork and they had to do a very intense background check on you. You know, basically, it was basically, you know, the worst IRS audit. I don't know, they call it something different over there, but that's what it would be considered, is a audit. And it was just insane. A lot of people don't know how Australia was actually originally, you know, founded. Really, Australia was a prison. Between 1788 and mid-1850s, 1860s, there was hundreds of thousands of convicts that were transported from Britain and basically the colonies over there in that area. And they used it as a prison. When somebody was picked up on a crime, and it wasn't a death penalty crime, they were put in prison until they had enough to load a ship with, and they would take them to Australia and they would drop them off. Basically, because it was Australia is one of the most dangerous continents on the face of the earth. They got more poisonous snakes, poisonous spiders, poisonous everything. Basically, they got everything that'll kill you or eat you in Australia.
Yeah.
And so they dropped them off, and they just dropped them off on the beaches of the island. A lot of times they didn't even drop them off on the beaches. They'd go by and push them off, and they'd swim to shore. And if you survive, great. If you don't, then no big deal. And, I mean, that was basically what Australia was founded on. So you can actually look back and see why it's turned into what it is based on its foundations.
Exactly.
Amen.
Wow.
Well, guys, there's the hour. We are out of time. I want to thank everybody for tuning in and joining us. And we do want to invite you to church tomorrow. Looking forward to fellowship and getting together, being able to step away from the world for just a couple of short hours and kind of refocus our thoughts and our heart and learn. And so we encourage you. Join us. 8:30 Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. You can do that at scripturesforamerica.org. And we'll have a timeless pulpit truth for you. You can look at it as prophecy, and it is probably coming true today. John, looking forward to your live message. We'll have communion and some Holy Spirit inspired music. So we encourage you to join us. Again, you can do that by going to scripturesforamerica.org, click on the live video stream, and it'll be almost like you're right there with us. So, well, men, thanks so much for joining us. Have a blessed weekend, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, stay high.
Ha!
Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make 'em hell send forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating, parking will be waiting at the end of our ride.